When I was thinking about things for this sermon this week and talking with others about this scripture, I was reminded of some things that I have always enjoyed. How many remember the original This Old House series? Did anybody watch that? Did anybody think that was just so neat to take those old dilapidated houses? I mean, sometimes they would start out and they would show you those before pictures and you would just be like, where's the bulldozer? I mean, just take the whole thing down and start over. Why even bother with this thing? You know, the windows would just, you could even tell the windows were even crooked. The whole thing seemed sometimes to be slid on its foundation. And then through a process of lots and lots of work and lots of tender care, they would restore some old, dilapidated shanty into its original glory. A beautiful Victorian home. A beautiful Queen Anne cottage. And I just love the transformation that would take place. My father-in-law is a mechanic. And he and my husband, Joe, throughout the years have worked on many a car. And they see a junkyard as a field of dreams. Now, I just don't have the same appreciation. We'll drive by and you'll go, ooh, junkyard. You know? And I'm like, ooh, put up a bigger fence. You know, I'm like, environmental protection, call them quick, you know. They can spend hours of true enjoyment in a junkyard. My father-in-law can walk through a junkyard and see a bolt and say, ooh, that goes to the engine block of a 34 Ford. I got to get one of those and pick it up. He can walk through a junkyard and see this massive little mangled piece of metal laying on the ground and go, that's a head ornament. I can fix that. He had a 36 Ford that he had found, but it didn't have an engine in it. Now, he had an eye for things, and he got a job as one of the workers in the water plant. And they had an old backup system generator. And it was powered by this old, old engine. And they were getting rid of all that old, old stuff and putting in a more sophisticated backup generator. And he was helping them carry out this junk to be put on a truck, to be taken to the junkyard. And he got excited. Oh, did he get excited? Because he talked him into letting him have all this junk. Now, I have to tell you, I have a rule when we go home that Joe is not allowed to bring anything back in the car that did not go with us, because he has this same delight for old junk. My father is here, and we're going to clean out some of Joe's old junk while he's here to help us haul it away. But in this pile of old junk that I would have taken to the junkyard in a heartbeat, most of you would not have looked twice at, guess what gem he found? The original, an original engine, every part for a 36 Ford. Wow. People who are into restoration never see things the way the rest of us do. They see potential. They see diamonds. They see what it can be. Now I have to admit, I way too often just see a pile of old junk. I think we have a God who is into that kind of restoration. When it says that he has made us new creations, I see a God that is into making things new. A God that loves to take our old tarnished selves that we have just dilapidated with sin, that we have just dilapidated with bad choices, that we have thought we could run better than he could, and say, I can do something with that. That's beautiful. Just give me a chance at it. I can make it a new creation. I love this first verse in Corinthians. It says, "Therefore, we no longer regard anyone from a human point of view." Because, you know, I think it's that human point of view that looks at people the way I look at old cars and junkyards. You know, we look for things that are shiny and new and already complete. We look at people and we see the flaws. We look at people and we see whether we like them or not. We see how much status they have, the clothes they wear, whether we find them interesting or uninteresting. There's so many ways, as a human point of view, we view people that really discount a lot of things. There's a lot of people, you know, we just write them off. There's no chance for them. I don't think God views people that way. And I think in this verse that we are being invited to have that vision of God, that vision of a person who loves to make things new. That vision like a car restorer has in a junkyard, or someone who loves to restore old homes has as they go through the oldest downtown section of a historic old town, before anyone has got there to realize the value of those buildings and those houses. And we drive through and we're like, what, you know, if they just bulldoze this area and put up some nice condos, you know? They drive through and they go, wow, what potential this place has. I think we are being invited to look around our world and not to see people as the world views them, from a human point of view. What are their flaws? You know, how can we use this person for our own success? You know, what status do they have? Can we get along with them? Do we like them? And we're being invited instead to see them as God sees them. This person's created in the image of God. Valuable, beautiful, wonderful. They just got a little tarnish on them. That's all. We all got a little tarnish on us. No problem. In fact, it says here, God's got a solution for that little tarnish. It's Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, when we're in Christ, it says, in verse 17, so anyone in Christ, in fact, the other words aren't there, it just says new creation in the Greek. It's just like, Paul gets so excited. Anyone in Christ, he just jumps right to the explanation point. New creation. They can be restored. They can be reconciled. Now this verse uses reconciled a lot. And the way I view that word is reconciled is that restoration of relationship. And that starts with the fact that God has reconciled our relationship, has restored our relationship with Him. And that's a lot of fun. I mean, people who get a great deal of joy out of making things new will tell you it's addictive. I mean, you do it once, you want to do it again. I actually helped Joe restore an old Willie's Jeep, you know, with the square fenders and all that stuff. And it was a lot of fun, and it was really neat to see what it could become. It really changed the way I look at old vehicles. It really showed me what things could happen. And so I think it's really neat that God is willing to share this with us. It says that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It says it right there. Verse 18, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And in verse 19 it says, and entrusted us with the message of reconciliation. One of the things that they talked about in the Celebrate Jesus workshop was how fun and exciting and contagious and addictive seeing a person become made new in Christ is. I mean, they say you do it once. I mean, you want to see it happen again. Now, I have been very, very, very fortunate in that there are a couple of people that God has used me to help bring new life into their world. And it was so exciting to see someone who thought no one could ever love them, that they were unlovable, receive the love of Christ, and be so excited about it. Now, that was great. But you know what was even more exciting? when that same girl called me up and said, I've done it. I've shared what God did with me to someone else who also thought they were unlovable. And they were really amazed that I used to think I was unlovable. She said, it is so wonderful to see them starting to receive some love from me. And I just know at some point they're going to open themselves up to receive that love from Christ too. Sharing new life. Sharing reconciliation. Making old things new is fun stuff. Really fun stuff. And I think we have an incredible God because God knows how great this is. And He doesn't keep it all to Himself and says, I'll do it all myself. Y'all just sit back. You know, I'm going to have all the goodies for me. Y'all just do all the hard work, okay? And I'll have all the fun of making things new. He says, I'm going to share this ministry with you. I'm going to let you be a part of this. I'm going to let you have a stake in what I'm about. I think it's so, so neat that we have a God who lets us be a part of the most exciting thing there is. Seeing people be made new. Being restored to the beautiful image of Christ that they were created in. I love how this passage puts it in verse 20, that we are ambassadors. You know, we get to be, and that's a really important position, you know, to be an ambassador. To go share the message. And we are ambassadors because Christ is making His appeal to the world through us. God could do it without us. Isn't it neat that God wants to do it with us? I just love that. I guess it makes me feel special. And I want all of you to just know how special you are too. That God is so excited about this wonderful ministry of making people new. That He has invited you to be a part of it. He's invited you to be His ambassadors. To get to be a part of some of that good stuff. To share that good news. The good news that Jesus loves you. The good news that He's your best friend. He sees everything about you and still loves you. I mean, that is good news that God could know my every fault. My every flaw. My every mistake. And still love me. Wow. Wow, that's good news for me. It's such good news. I want everybody to know. God loves me. And I want everybody to know something else, too. God loves them. I mean, how many people out there would just be so excited to find out that there is somebody that loves them? That they are actually lovable people. That there is actually value in their life. And that they are not ready for the scrap heap. But they are ready to be made new, to be made wonderful, and to be totally loved and embraced. I want to invite you all to be a part of this kind of ministry. I want to invite you all to be a part because Paul has already invited you and Christ has already invited you. And I want to give you a way that you can start. Because, you know, one of the things that's really scary about this is just figuring out how. I mean, you know, you're just really afraid. So this is what I want you to do. If you want to accept the invitation, it's your choice. You see, we have a prayer focus in Lent. And so my assignment, guess what, is going to be prayer. It's going to be that you pray first for the new creation in your own life. Because I need to be made new every day. I mean, this is not, I mean, I get out of bed and it's like, make me new all over again, Lord, because I need you. And I need to be reminded I'm loved every day. And secondly, I want you to choose someone in your life. Now, it can be a family member. It can be a coworker. It can be an acquaintance, or it can be a neighbor. But I want it to be somebody you already care about, because we're going to start with your strengths. You know, it's easy to love those people you already care about. We're not going to start with the hard people, those people that you consider your enemies. We're going to start with a friend, a neighbor, an acquaintance, a family member. I want you to write their name down and put it somewhere where you'll see it every day. And every day, or every time you see it, or once a week, I want you to begin to pray for that person. To pray for God's love to break into their life. And here may be the scary part of the prayer. Because I want you to seriously pray, verse 20. I want you to pray that God would make you an ambassador of Christ with that person. That God would help you be open to making His appeal to that person through you. Pray for the opportunities. And then just sit back and see what God does. Just pray. And sit back and see what God does. One of the neatest ways to pray for people was shared with me by a seminary professor. She said, you know, I started praying that I would see people as God sees people. I think it's really amazing. To begin to see people as valuable and as loved and as lovable. And it sure has changed me to see people changed. It's your choice. The invitation's out there.